أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي من علينا بمحمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. وبأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله عز وجل في كتابه الكريم: بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألم يأن للذين آمنوا أن تخشع قلوبهم لذكر الله وما نزل من الحق ولا يكونوا كالذين أوتوا الكتاب من قبل فطال عليهم الأمد فقست قلوبهم وكثير منهم فاسقون. صلوات صل على محمد. Before we continue with the next verse, some of our sisters had some questions last night. The main question was about weeping and the emotion that a person experiences when hearing the incidents of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, and how horrendously were they massacred, what transpired in the plains of Karbala on the day of Ashura, after the day of Ashura, and so on. The question was that what of laymen, if they have a kind of thinking that is not at par with those people who do have a bit of ma'rifah about the Ashab and about Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, can we recite those marathi and nauhas that are according to their status? The important thing is to understand some things. If you understand some points, you will know what kind of marthiyas are allowed and what kinds of marthiyas are not allowed. How should you make people weep and so on. And of course, the term making people weep also is not correct, because as you narrate the incident of Karbala, every reader would weep because of what transpired in the plains of Karbala. One of the very important points is that you look at the hadaf of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam and his companions, and you would see that Imam from the onset says that whosoever would like to meet his Lord and would like to meet death, فَلْيَرْحَلْ مَعَنَا, that he should accompany us. So it's clear cut from the onset. Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam tells his companions that this path will end to death, and therefore whosoever is ready, فَلْيَرْحَلْ مَعَنَا. Zuhair bin Qain is already told before he comes and joins Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. And many others, they knew for sure that this would end in being martyred in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Although their uprising was not to get killed in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala merely, no. As Imam Khomeini has rightly stated in his points about Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam's revolution, he says that Imam wanted to form an Islamic government, but because the people that he had were less, he still wanted to uprise to show that he is not going to submit to falsehood and dhulm at all, come what may. And he went towards Karbala, first going towards Mecca and thereafter towards Kufa and then towards Karbala. Because he knew that if he were to stay in Medina, then he would get the station of Shahada, but he would not be able to inform the people of his message. And why did he uprise? And that is why you find that the first place he goes is towards Mecca to get a global platform. At that time we didn't have internet and telephone and so on. Even in internet and telephone and so on, you cannot do the work the way you can do when you go to Mecca, because here you are going to people. In internet, if a person would like to look at the internet, he looks at the internet, the website. If he doesn't want, he doesn't. If he wants to view his emails, he's going to view his emails. If he doesn't want, he would not. But here is Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam going towards the people, towards Mecca, to inform the people. He wanted a global platform to go and inform the people, so that people throughout the world coming to Mecca would carry his message back to their places, and they would know that why Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam has risen. So that now if he is martyred in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his message would spread. And this is what happened. And that is why Bibi Zainab salamullah alayha, after Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, was able to spread the message, because many people knew that Imam had gone towards Karbala and had risen against Yazid. Therefore, in short, if you look at the purpose of the uprising of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, it is very sacred. And therefore, and he also tells them that be ready for death. But the way they were killed and the way they were martyred, and the fact that they were martyred also and killed, is painful for us. Although, as I said, some of the Ashab as well as Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam would not feel that pain. But it is too painful for us to be separated from a great personality like Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. You look at some of our du'as and our ziyarat, you find that only a person who has that ability to comprehend the gravity of the matter would understand this. A very simple example is that of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. If you look at his separation, the 12th Holy Imam Ajjalallahu Farajahu Sharif teaches us in Dua al-Iftitah, Allahumma inna nashku ilayka faqda nabiyyina. O Allah, we are complaining to you because of the separation of our Prophet. He is not there among us. Wa ghaybata waliyyina wa ghaybata imamina. And the absence of our Imam and our Guardian. Now, just the separation of the Holy Prophet is too much for us. Even our A'imma alayhimu salam teach us during Saturday that when you address the Holy Prophet, you say, Usibna bika ya Rasulallah, haythun qata'a anna al-wahi wa haythu faqadnak. That we have come to that state of musiba, and it is a calamity for us when the wahi was disconnected or it stopped. وَحَيْثُ فَقَدْنَاكَ, and when we lost you, فَإِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. We start weeping and saying this three times, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. This is that ziyara that you should recite every Saturday. And if you look at our traditions, we find that Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam, whenever he would say, قَالَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ تَغَيَّرَ لَوْنُهُ, the color of his face would change just by saying, قَالَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Now he understands the sanctity of the Holy Prophet. While he is far away, if you go and see, from the time of the Holy Prophet, he is the sixth Holy Imam, and he still misses the Holy Prophet. Similar is our case. That we miss Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, his loss and the way his hurma and sanctity was violated is painful for us. That is what is painful for us. If you look at Ziyaratun Nahiya, it is a very good article or a very good ziyara that teaches us that when we want to cry over Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, how should we cry over Imam Hussein alayhi salam? Yes, the way he was, his sanctity was violated, how the women were taken as captives, how they got problems is all unbearable for us. And it makes us weep, and this is pure sacred. And therefore, I'm not saying that this is not allowed. What is not allowed is that you try to appropriate and do tahmeel of your thoughts over the thoughts of those people in Karbala. And that is why sometimes, even in Shi'r or even in Marthiya, the Sha'ir says that they must be thinking. They don't mention this in the Marthiya or Nawha, but they say, you see, I'm a Sha'ir, I know how the Ye Khiyal Atai, for example, this is what comes in my imagination. That this is what Ummu Layla, Salamullah Alayha, or Ummu Rubab, or whoever, were thinking on the day of Ashura. Have you read it? If you have read it, then you say that. Say that my source is such and such a maqtal. You look at Rahbar, who is so powerful even in Bayan, but when it comes to maqtal, he reads Luhuf ala qatl al-tufuf. Whenever he read maqtal, he read from Luhuf. You look at the Friday khutbas. If this year he's going to read it, he reads it from the book and makes us cry, because he knows that when you are trying to narrate the Karbala event, narrate it accurately. Because this is the sanctity of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. You can tell tomorrow that I read it from Luhuf ala qatl al-tufuf. But then just saying that, ye khiyal aata hai, and this is what comes in my mind, and this is what she was thinking, no, this is not right. If it is there in a book, which is also sanctimonious, you see, if you look at Luhuf ala qatl al-tufuf, I can say that it is one of the very good maqtals to read. Alhamdulillah, it has been translated into Urdu, into English. I heard it's being translated into English. I don't know if the translation has come out. Into Farsi. And those who are well versed in Arabic can read the Arabic maqtal and understand what transpired in the plains of Karbala. It's not a very comprehensive maqtal. Why I trust it? Because in one of his books, Sayyid Radiyuddin bin Tawus writes a very powerful statement. And that what made me think that now whenever I would like to read a maqtal, I would read al-luhuf. And that is that it is as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala literally showed him what transpired in the plains of Karbala. The word kashf has been written, that he got the kashf of really what transpired. This is what I literally saw from one book of his. It's known as Kashf al-Mahajjah لِثَمَرَةِ الْمُهْجَةِ. That is why I tend to trust. And Sayyid Radiyuddin bin Tawus is a very powerful ulama, from the very powerful ulama, and he is said to have met the 12th Holy Imam Ajjalallahu Farajahu Sharif several times, and his sanctity is known among the ulama as well. And therefore, whenever we would like to read maqtal, we refer to the different maqatil. I'm not telling you that just refer to Sayyid Radiyuddin bin Tawus's Al-Luhuf, but then quote the Maqatil, and then make Marthiya, and say that this is what I read in the Maqtal. But then if you were to put your thoughts, which are not at par with their thoughts, then that is wrong. This is what I'm talking about for the layman. But now, another question which is very important is that, let's say that, alright, the layman was, just the narrative of the event of Karbala was given to the layman, alright? And he or she cried because of some things where it was not necessary to cry. No problem. Because his fahm and his power of thinking goes up to that station. And he is crying for Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. No problem. Even if his bardasht and his conception of the events are of such that he gets disturbed because of small incidents that transpired in the plains of Karbala, he has haq, no problem. This is how, this is the banquet of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. To give you my personal experience, I started in this banquet by doing matam and looking at myself whether it has become red or not, so that to show people that it's red and I've done a lot of matam. This is how I started in the banquet. And Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam gave me more and more as I came every year. And I looked at the banquet as a particular incident. But then realization dawned. And this is how many people do that. They start with that. You find that they are overtaken with the awe of doing zanjir and hitting in themselves so that blood comes out. They have got that narrative in their mind. They do cry. Sometimes you find that he starts by crying, by showing that he is crying. Slowly and gradually, Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam gives him more and more and more. A time comes when realization dawns and he comes to realize that this incident is an incident which is so powerful that it feeds those people who came even before Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. Nabi Adam is fed by this incident. Nabi Nuh salamullah alayhi. Today I was checking the riwayat on these prophets. I saw Nabi Adam, Nabi Nuh, Nabi Isa, Nabi Musa, Nabi Ibrahim, all these prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were fed from this event of Karbala. Even Nabi Ismail salamullah alayhi. All these powerful prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were inspired from the tragedy of Karbala, which is not only a tragedy, it's a movement as well. I hope I've made my clarification on this issue. Inshallah, if there is any other questions, inshallah, we'll look at it afterwards, after these 10-11 days, when it's going to be announced, when we will have the continuation of Ziyarat Ashura, if we were not to finish it in these 11 gatherings, inshallah. Recite a salawat, please. We were talking about the characteristics of the ashab of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, and we reached that one of the characteristics mentioned about these ashab in the riwayat was that they are gharib. And as I say, the gharib is a stranger. In Urdu, gharib is used to denote a person who is poor. And this connotation or this meaning, I think, is very appropriate also. The way it came to this, to mean a poor person, was because a stranger is poor in one way, especially if he is in another town and he doesn't have anybody to associate with and to help him around. So he becomes a person who is poor in one way. And that is why gharib was known as a poor person. But gharib in Arabic is known as a stranger. Now, if you look at our riwayat, you will find that there are contradictories as far as gharib is concerned. Let me read some riwayat, short riwayat from the A'imma alayhimu salam. And these riwayat are mostly from Imam Ali alayhi salam. He says, Al-humku fi al-watani ghurbatun. If a person is ahmaq, a person is silly, not mad, but silly. If a person is silly, he doesn't have the capacity of comprehension, and he thinks about the world only, beyond the world, he does not think. These are the definitions of a silly person, humq, if you look at our books. So a person who is ahmaq in his own town is gharib, is a stranger. Another hadith from Imam Ali alayhi salam says, Al-ulama ghuraba likithrat al-juhal. Ulama are gharib because of a lot of ignorant people among them. So in the first case, an ahmaq is gharib in his own town, where we don't have silly people. In the other case, the ulama are ghareeb because they are among the juhal. لِكِثْرَةِ الْجُهَالِ, because there are so many ignorant people. And there is a very interesting hadith from a companion of Imam Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salam. Whereby the Imam says that annasu kulluhum baha'im. This is ajeeb. This riwaya is ajeeb jiddan. Listen to this carefully. Annasu kulluhum baha'im. The people, all of them are animals, are beasts. All of the people are beasts. And he repeats this three times. Annasu kulluhum baha'im. Annasu kulluhum baha'im. Illa qalilan min al-mu'minin. Save a few of the mu'mins. Therefore, even from the mu'mins, they are animals. And then he says, وَالْمُؤْمِنُ غَرِيبٌ وَالْمُؤْمِنُ غَرِيبٌ وَالْمُؤْمِنُ غَرِيبٌ. This he reiterates thrice. Showing that a mu'min, because of the animalistic attitudes of the people, is غَرِيب. He is a stranger among the people. In short, whenever you have a group of people wherein you don't fit, you are gharib. If your sanctity is very high and their sanctity is low, you are gharib. If your sanctity is very low and their sanctity is very high, you are gharib again. Therefore, gharib is a relative term. Now, Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam and Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam also, they are known as Gharibul Ghuraba. Gharib from the Ghuraba. We have a set of Ghuraba who are strangers. Among these strangers, the Imams are strangers. Why? Because the Imam's position is very high. These Ashab also, their position was very high, but then not at par with the Imam. As I said in that riwayah, it is clear that لا تبلغ كنها ما فينا ولا نهايته. That you are not going to reach, or you are not going to comprehend where we are, or the end of where we reach. This is one of the very excellent characteristics of the Ashab. They were not at par with the other people. The other people could not comprehend what is going in their minds. And even if you look at the statements of these Ghuraba and the Ashab, you will come to realize that why in fact are they known as Ghuraba. Another characteristic of these Ashab is that they were very much worshipful. They were very much worshipful. They were Ubbad. And this is there clearly in one of the ahadith that on the 10th night or on the 9th day in the evening, Umar Sa'd wanted to start the battle. But Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam told Hazrat Abbas salamullah alayhi that tell them not to start fighting now. لَعَلَّنَا نُصَلِّي لِرَبِّنَا لِأَنَّهُ يَعْرِفُ أَنِّي أُحِبُّ الصَّلَاةُ وَتِلَاوَةَ كِتَابِهِ. So that we may pray tonight to our Lord, because He knows that I love salat, praying namaz at night. لِأَنَّهُ يَعْلَمْ أَنِّي أُحِبُّ الصَّلَاةِ وَتِلَاوَةَ كِتَابِهِ, and reading the book, his book. And in riwayat we find that the Ashab لَهُمْ دَوِيٌّ كَدَوِيٍّ النَّحْلِ, that they had the sound of buzzing like the buzzing of bees. Now this ta'bir is very interesting. When I looked at this ta'bir, لَهُمْ دَوِيٌّ كَدَوِيٍّ النَّحْلِ, I said that what about the Khawarij? The Khawarij have the same ta'bir for them. لَهُمْ دَوِيٌّ كَدَوِيٍّ النَّحْلِ. So we find that the Khawarij, who are so worshipful, لَهُمْ دَوِيٌّ كَدَوِيٍّ النَّحْلِ. This is how Jundub, one of the companions of Imam Ali alayhi salam, when he looks at these companions, the Khawarij, He sees lahum dawiyun kadawiyin nahl. They were so much worshipful that he said that some of them were always in ruku, some of them were always in sujood, some of them were crying. So he said, فَدَخَلَ الشَّكْ فِي قَلْبِي. I started doubting that are they in the right path or not. This is what Jundub says. When I looked at the Khawarij after the Battle of Siffin, when the Khawarij separated, I was confused and I was perplexed. Are they in the right path? So he said that I came out of my horseback and I prayed. I started standing near them or in one place and I started praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, Ya Allah, if they are in the right path, then make me not fight against them. This is what was his station. This is what was his position. He said, if they are in the right path, then O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, don't make me fight against them. Then Imam Ali alayhi salam tells Jundub that people are going to be killed in a very bad manner. And I'm going to send a messenger to invite them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His book. فَإِنَّهُ مَقْتُولٌ. And he is going to be killed. Whosoever goes to the Khawarij and invites them, he is going to be killed. فَإِنَّهُ مَقْتُولٌ. So then Imam Ali alayhi salam asks the people who is ready to go and invite this Khawarij to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Sunnah of the Prophet who announced that I am the Imam. So a youth comes and says that Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, I am ready to go. He's a youth. So Imam said that you sit down, you are in your youth age. لِأَنَّ الَّذِي يَذْهَبْ فَإِنَّهُ مَقْتُولٌ. Because the one who would go will definitely be killed. So second time he asks the people, who is ready to go and invite them? Again this same young boy, young youth stands up and says, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, I am ready to go. Then afterwards Imam says that if he is really persisting to go and he is ready to be killed in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then let him go. And he goes. And riwayat have an ajib ta'ab, very strange expression for such a personality who goes and invites the Khawarij to the book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Prophet. The riwayah says that when he went and he invited the Khawarij to the book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Prophet, all the Khawarij who were there started throwing arrows at him, so much so that the ta'bir in the riwayah is that when he came, فَإِنَّهُ كَالْقُنْفُذُ, he was like a porcupine. He had arrows all over his body. And as he reached the camps of Imam, he left this world. Jundub, on observing this, he said, فَذَهَبَ الشَّكْ عَنْ قَلْبِي. This shak, this doubt that was there in my heart, came out from my heart. And I came to realize, what kind of people are the Khawarij? They are those people who are formalists. They know how to show. And they look at the apparent of the Sharia. They don't look at the kernel of the Sharia at all. But you find that these ashab of the Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam were not only formalists or were not formalists. Rather, they knew the kernel of Sharia and they looked at both the apparent as well as the kernel of the Sharia. And we have the same ta'bir, same expression for the ashab of the 12th Holy Imam, ajjalallahu farajahu sharif, that they would be so powerful. They would be lions in the morning. And they would be worshippers at night. Zuhad at night. Lahum dawiyun kadawiyin nahl. They would be busy reciting Quran, doing sajda, and worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, we should take that moderate step of not being that side of being so much worshipful and leaving the kernel and not being in such a way that going towards the kernel and saying that this formal kind of worship should be done but let's not trouble ourselves. No, it's not a matter of trouble, it's a matter of ishq. You look at the Holy Prophet, that he would worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so much, حتى تورم قدماها لكثرة العبادة, until his legs got swollen because of a lot of worship. And then Aisha asks the Prophet that غفر الله لك ما تقدم من ذنبك وما تأخر. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already forgiven you your past sins and your sins that should come. So why are you worshipping this much? And the Holy Prophet said, أَفَلَا أَكُونُ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. Should I not be a thankful servant? So this is a lesson for us, that worship and كِثْرَةُ الْعِبَادَةِ is something very nice, but with ma'rifa. Without ma'rifa, this worship is useless. And this thing is important, because even in our societies at home and in other places, we would find personalities who would worship a lot, but when you try to talk to them, you would find that the pool they are swimming at is a very dangerous pool. So we should have that moderate way of life when it comes to ibadah. And these were the companions of Imam Al-Husayn alayhi salam. Now today, the verse that we are going to discuss, and the time is nearly over, but then I'll look at this verse for a few minutes and then we'll look at some points of Masa'ib. And this is the next verse of Ziyarat Ashura, is عَلَيْكُمْ مِنِّي جَمِيعًا سَلَامُ اللَّهِ أَبَدًا مَا بَقِيتُ وَبَقِيَ اللَّيْلُ وَالنَّهَارُ. عَلَيْكُمْ is upon you. This verse, in reality, if you look at the see, a sentence has two main parts. When you look at a sentence, it has two main parts. One is the subject and the other is a predicate. And this in Arabic is mubtada and khabar. If the khabar comes first and the mubtada comes last, it proves specificity and restrictiveness. What does this specificity or restrictiveness mean? It means that thing is particular to the subject. For example, when we say Iyaka na'budu, you alone we worship. We don't say na'buduka. We could say na'buduka. When we say na'buduka, we also say we worship you, O Allah. But when we say Iyaka na'budu, we bring the khabar first and say, Iyaka, you alone we worship. Therefore we have restricted worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here we don't say, Assalamu alaykum. We say, Alaykum minni jami'an salamullah. So alaykum comes first. That means, only you, only upon you be salam of Allah. Abadan, forever. مَا بَقِيتُ, so long as I live. وَبَقِيَ اللَّيْلُ وَالنَّهَارُ, and so long as the night and day remains. This is the verse. Now, there are several discussions on this verse, and they are very important discussions that pertain to our life. I think if I start these discussions now, the time will be, it would go very late, and thus, I think we should stop over here. As far as this ziyarah is concerned, inshallah, tomorrow we'll continue with this verse and we'll look at the discussions which are very important. I think when we started answering and responding to that query, a lot of time was used up, but I think it was helpful. Recite a salawat, please. Today I was looking at Ziyaratun Nahiyah, and I said that at the end, it would be appropriate to read some of the verses of Ziyaratul Nahiya. And you come to realize that how Imam Zaman Ajjalallahu Farajahu Sharif is weeping over his grandfather Imam Al-Husayn alayhi salam. Said, As-salamu ala al-juyub al-mudarrajat. Peace be upon the blood-stained chests. As-salamu ala al-shifahi al-dhabilat. Peace be upon the parched lips. As-salamu ala al-nufus al-mustalamat. Peace be upon the plucked souls. السلام على الأرواح المختلسات. Peace be upon the snatched spirits. السلام على الغريب الغرباء. Peace be upon the one who is the stranger of the strangers. السلام على الأجساد العاريات. Peace be upon the stripped corpses. السلام على الجسوم الشاحبات. Peace be upon the pallid bodies. السلام على الدماء السائلات. Peace be upon the gushing bloods. السلام على الأعضاء المقطعات. Peace be upon the dismembered lips, the dismembered limbs. السلام على الرؤوس المشالات. Peace be upon the heads raised upon lances. السلام على النسوة البارزات. Peace be upon the women forcibly exposed. السلام على حجة رب العالمين. Peace be upon the proof of the Lord of the worlds. وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون. إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون.